They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Done by Jim.
I've never heard this.
Jim said during a break,
what do you want to do?
Casey the Sunshine.
You said whatever you want to do, and that's what he did. Now you're mad about it.
No, he said there's a Christmas song by them, Let's Go Dancing with Santa, that I thought would have been better.
He said give it a try. I don't hate you for wanting to give it a
try. You can take that and put that in the Pogue category with it. It's bad. Call it when you see it. Bad, bad.
They do Santa Claus is Coming to Town if you want to hear that too.
Oh.
That could be better.
Oh.
That could be better.
Grilled
cheese being delivered.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be over to you.
Watch out. Wow. Take one, pass it down. Take one, pass it down.
You got a half of me, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, you got one.
Wow.
Who is this?
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Really? This doesn't sound like their typical stuff.
Get down to it.
Play the hits. Play the hits. Turn his crap off, Jim.
So you like the Pogues? So you're turning on that Pogue song yet?
No, I would probably like their, in March, St. Patrick's Day. I'd probably dig their music then.
Oh, okay.
Make in the mood. That's not Christmas. Like, if my kid came, I'm like, hey, quick debate here. We've been having this argument on the show. I'm gonna play a song. You feel it's like Christmas? Because what the hell is this?
Yeah. So you can't form your own opinion. So you ask your teenage daughter
to
back you up
to make you feel better
on whether or not you like something. No, you don't like it. It's fine. Get on with your life.
No, I don't need you to tell me it's good.
I didn't tell you it's good.
No,
but you definitely need people to tell you it's bad.
Right.
Yes. You need reassurance.
Yeah,
reinforcement.
Yeah. I like to be sneaky and secure. I like people like
no, outwardly insecure.
I like to be like on the same page.
Just insecure, period.
With you guys. I like to agree with stuff with you guys. You like to agree with me. I like, and that's when it's good. Yeah, it's fun. Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
I actually think we're at our best when we all disagree on things.
Yeah, that was bad.
What was bad?
See, the part that pisses me off about this Pogue thing?
Yeah.
You know it's bad, but you like
it. I'm indifferent.
No.
I don't love it. I don't hate it.
You force do it. So just in the strange event that one of your Irish friends are home in Quincy over the holidays, and you're getting hammered with them, you can sit there and rock back
not
and forth
on my
and
playlist.
Sing the lyrics with
not
them.
But the truly, like, real Irish friends.
You've
of
never
mine.
Listened to the whole song.
They really love it.
It kicks in.
You can't even get past the first 10 seconds.
But
you can't do it.
I'm only half Irish, I can't fully appreciate it. Like,
right.
Just the good half.
Just the good half. Not like my 100% Irish friends who are just all about it. Man, are they about that song.
Oh, yeah.
They love
it's a classic.
Yeah.
That's some reckless grilled cheese dunking. You got to.
Oh, who's going to eat more grilled cheese to say? Did you already eat a half a sandwich?
You already ate my half.
Zoe said I could have some.
Did you eat the entire half?
I just had part of my half.
It's good. It's good grilled cheese, right?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's quality. Come to Warrior. Get the grilled cheese.
Wait 5 minutes and you can have your lunch. Just wait 5 minutes.
Matt's in Bangor today. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
First of all, I just wanted to say, Frank and Salem, that was about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're saying that they owe it to the fans to put the best players on the field, and you're telling me Gordon isn't one of the best players?
That's what they're trying to do. That's why he's out there.
Exactly. But my question was, what do you guys think they're going to do about Gordon's production? You think, you know, Dorsett, obviously, Patterson, but do you think they'll try to go out and maybe pick someone up, like a Kenny Britt? Or someone like that, if they're just
God, I hope not.
I know, right? But there's no one really out there.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they're going to go out there and get anybody.
Malcolm Mitchell's out there, but his knee can't. The knee's not good.
Didn't he file a grievance against the team?
I think he had a settlement.
I think he also filed a grievance.
Yeah. Standard. I mean,
I
don't want Kenny Britt.
I don't think he's capable of playing. I think he's done.
I'm done with the Kenny Britts, the Jordan Matthews experiments. You know, these former veterans that, he was a former first rounder. He got hurt. And he got I understand the value.
Tim is in Mansfield. He's been hanging on. Thanks, Tim. What do you
Timmy?
Got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, bud.
Great show. I see you dipping the grilled cheese in the soup there, though. What kind of soup you guys got today?
Tomato.
Tomato. What else?
All right. Tomato.
Yeah. Nice.
Excellent.
Hey, why couldn't Belichick or Matthew Slater, right, the voice for the ad care advertisements, see that Gordon's up to no good over the last year?
I think he may not have been up to no good. You know what I mean?
It might not be visible to the team.
They can't spend 24 hours a day with him. I'm sure there's somebody that has been helping him.
If the guy's coming in the locker room smelling like pot, his production.
I don't think that's the case.
Clearly last week. And, if he's inactive last week, then we get that seventh round pick back. So that's where I'm coming
from. Not true. Tim, that's not true. That ended up not being true about the trade. The game's active stipulation, it ended up not being in the deal. So the seventh round pick was. Yeah, it didn't have to be.
You know what?
I mean,
there's a lot of people.
The trade, so yeah. I would have rode his coattails all the way to, hopefully the Super Bowl if the boys can figure it out. But, I was a fan of the trade. I think we got a lot out of him. But
okay, Tim. That ended up not being part of the deal.
If Dorsett if you were
10
force
games
fed,
active clause.
Whatever it was. But if you were force-fed Dorsett for 11 games, could he have gotten to 700 yards and three scores for you? 11 games.
Yardage-wise, maybe not. I think he might have a tough time with the yardage, but could he have three touchdowns? Yeah. I could see that. It's possible.
Yep.
If they fed him the ball, yeah.
Yeah.
I
understand everybody's got a comment on this now, but nobody knows the true details. Like, could Slater see? I don't think that's the issue. He's been there. He's done everything. He was in the huddle with the first team offense yesterday. Like, all systems go.
Jeff in Merrimack is hanging on. He had a baseball point.
Yes.
Says the subject line says baseball is ruined. We got Dan Shaughnessy with us. What do you got?
Well, that's why I'm calling, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This is Jeff in Nashville. I've moved. So anyway, there are five people in particular who have just ruined baseball. And then, of course, Dan, your organization, the BBWAA. But Bill James, Tony La Russa, who single-handedly brought the game to an unwatchable crawl. He ushered in the steroid era all the way to a World Series title in 89 and into the Hall of Fame. And now Harold Baines, who never got above 7% in his voting time.
Jeff, who Tony La Russa is partially responsible for getting him in.
It's part of the
and
That's
has defended
what I'm
him.
Saying.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Then Bud Selig and Rob Manfred, who both looked the other way as McGuire and Sosa made a mockery of the game in 98 and started.
Those were good times.
Nothing
I enjoyed those were good times.
Of course. That was great. But
that's why you turn the other way.
Selig jumping around like he's celebrating as McGuire's running around the bases.
He should.
And you couple that
you when remember where you were when it happened.
Look as Bonds was passing him.
I do. I was doing radio at 5:30 in the morning on Barry Bonds watch.
So why is it ruined now?
It's unwatchable. Four-hour games.
That's not...
Four-hour games.
I don't know if that's the fault of anybody you just mentioned, though.
But if you clean the game up and you
don't...
Tony La Russa.
Okay.
Lefty-righty switches in the third inning. This is going back to the 80s, late 80s with the A's. Totally brought the game to a screeching halt. And the home run or nothing stuff that takes the strategy out of the game, nobody sacrifice bunts. Nobody hits and runs. The shift has been allowed to actually be a thing because nobody will drop a bunt down the third baseline is absurd. So the strategy has just been taken out of the game. And now,
okay, Jeff, we get your point.
Yep.
It's 2 minutes on baseball sucks.
A lot of points.
That came out of nowhere, huh?
A lot of stuff there. He'd been waiting on for an hour.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure we got to him.
Thanks for hanging.
He really wanted to make
the Baines thing is an issue moving forward.
It's a huge problem.
That's a tough
one,
man.
It's lowered the bar for the entire Hall of Fame. And my hope is, Dan, that all the writers don't cave and then lower the bar for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they do. You know how they are.
Because they've all got their guys. Because they've all got their guys that they wish were in, but know they're not quite good enough.
I saw some of your buddies tweeting out, hey, if you're looking for last-minute Christmas gifts that are still many tickets left for the BBW. That thing you do
in
every
Continental
year.
In June. Who in January?
Who in her right mind would buy anybody that?
It was great.
Gift.
World champion Red Sox? Kidding?
No, I know that.
I can get you.
So we should go. You want to go?
Yeah. No.
It'd crash the party?
Hell no.
Yeah, it'll be good.
No.
All right, 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy with us. Tori Krug will join us next. After the action update, that would be the VSiN action update brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only place in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Quarterback questions were answered on two NFL games coming up Sunday. Now, the point spreads have settled in here in Las Vegas. With Cam Newton declared out by the Panthers, Carolina has gone from a 3.5-point favorite to a 3.5-point underdog hosting Atlanta. And with Aaron Rodgers saying that he will start this weekend, the Packers are field goal favorites visiting the New York Jets. Tonight, the Bruins are 60-cent favorites at home against Anaheim. The over-under is 5.5 goals. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior Ice Arena in Brighton. Also, the practice facility of the Boston Bruins, and Boston Bruins defenseman Tori Krug is with us.
Krug.
What do you say to that?
I don't know. You just laugh.
Hi, so
how much you love coming up here? What is this called? The deck?
The promenade.
The promenade media deck.
The cheap seats.
It's nice and warm up here. You guys got something good.
Well,
going
we had heaters going,
space heaters.
One of them broke.
Yeah. How much do you like playing in Montreal, as opposed to playing like against the Panthers? Because I'm watching that game the other night, and as much as I despise the Canadiens, that's a great hockey atmosphere. I mean, they are watching and paying attention and rooting and booing on every single touch of the puck.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's my favorite rink to play in.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, you said this.
It's there's something special about going up there and playing. You can feel the history in the building. And then you're playing against the Montreal Canadiens, and their fans are very knowledgeable, like you said. They're into the game. Any big hit or big play, a turnover, they're getting excited and getting you going. So it can be a tough building to play in when your team's not going, that's for sure. It feels like you're in a spin cycle. But there's nothing like, you know, leaving that building with a win and hearing how silent it is when you're skating off the ice.
Convincing win. I mean, that was a legit 60-minute effort the other night.
Yeah, it was for sure. It was a great response. We obviously felt like we were playing a couple good games against good teams that we should have come up with points, but we just didn't. So it was a great response for our team and divisional opponent and rival, and obviously great to come away with 2 points.
Does it suck that you play those guys on the 14th after the new year, and that's it? Like, that's the only time you have it's the only game you have left against them.
Yeah, it's weird. You know,
I know it changes every year, but
yeah. Well, that's the one of the weekends I look at every year. See where we're playing Montreal. I think last year we played them 4 times in like a week or something.
Yeah,
crazy like that.
There's a couple times it came down, like 2 years ago, like how you fare against them, like, and that's a big match. And I remember Saturday afternoon, everybody wants tickets to that game. And
yeah, so it's definitely weird now. You know, we have one game left against them, especially when, you know, it looks like they're going to be an opponent that we're going to be competing with you know, whether it's a playoff spot or home ice advantage or anything like that down the road. It's weird that we're only going to play them one more time.
Do you feel like you're hitting your stride now? You started the year dealing with the injury and, you know, points 4 out of the last 6. And do you feel like you're up and running, man? Like, this is, you know, good time of year for you?
Yeah, for sure. Getting there. It's that's kind of something that's you know, my whole career, it's kind of taken me a little bit of time to get going at the beginning of the season, whether it's I'm battling injuries or just trying to get acclimated to things. It's taken me some time. So right now, I don't know how many games I've played. It probably just passed the 20-game mark, and that's kind of been the mark for me every season. And now I'm feeling good about my game, not just offensively, but defensively. You know, a really good game in Montreal, and I just want to feed off that and continue to play that way.
Good problem having Bergeron coming back. I mean, I know you got Krejci up there. He's cranking with that first line. Like, what do you do, right?
Yeah, what do you do with 37?
You know, I'm glad I'm not the one making decisions, but Krejci's been unbelievable with those two guys. And you see some of the offensive plays that they've made, and you just shake your head, and, you know, you're just happy to be on their side. And then you got Berge, who looks like he's on the verge of coming back, and one of the best, if I think he is the best two-way forward in the National Hockey League and in the world. So, good problems to have.
What would you do, though? I mean, if you were, and I'm not saying that with specifically with these guys, but you, if you've got, you know, Krejci, Bergeron, Marchand, is it, would it be your, I guess, your preference to stack a line as much as you possibly could, or spread it out over the top two? I'm not saying spread it out over four, but would you rather have more of a sustained attack or just absolutely kill them with that top line?
I'd probably feel the temperature of a game and see what the other team's got going on. If they're a defensive team, then you probably got to spread it out a little bit. If they're a team that has, you know, one or two shutdown guys that play 30 minutes, then maybe you just overwhelm them and just shove it down their throats. But, you know, I like to think that you spread them out, and then if as the game goes on, if things aren't working for your team, then you do stack the line and go from there.
Joe McDonald had a report the other day on The Athletic that there was a big pregame speech before the game against Canadiens from Bruce Cassidy. One player saying there was no BS, another's calling it bold, another saying it had some real purpose behind it. How was the speech? Was it good to get everybody going?
It was good. You know, it wasn't like a rah-rah, I'm going to stand up here and scream, and guys will be running through the wall right after I'm done speaking.
No one's getting called out, right? It was for everybody?
It was a learning experience for everybody. Yeah, it wasn't just individualized. You know, it was great. It was obviously we had not been getting some points in games, and going in the second night of a back-to-back into a really tough building against a divisional rival. So for him to come in with that intensity and, you know, it really made everyone perk up and really focus on what their job was and define their roles for individuals, and we went from there.
Christmas week next week, none of us are going to be here. I don't know what your plans are or whatever, but we won't talk.
Looking for an invite over?
No, we won't talk. But we won't talk to him again until after the Winter Classic. You guys are heading there next weekend, right?
Yeah,
so that's right. How many tickets you need for that now? Is that this thing comes
man.
Up?
Yeah, I've got, you know, probably 15 people. 15. You know, I'm from the Midwest, so
yeah.
A lot of college football fans.
You love Notre Dame. That's such a cool venue, though.
Yeah, I love playing against Notre Dame in college, so it's going to be a fun venue. Like I said, a lot of people coming down. Very excited for
The facilities are sick now. Totally
it's
everything.
The I know the hockey rink, they put some serious cash into there.
My brother-in-law used to play. He showed me all the stuff. It's unreal.
It was better at one point. I don't know if it is today, but at one point it was better than any NHL arena.
They said,
facility.
The locker room's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't even close to.
For Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I think we've talked to you about this in years past, but do you like the outdoor games? Because some
I think
players
I told you
like
last
them.
Time I was
Some
here.
Players don't like them.
I love playing in them. I have a terrible track record. I'm two games. Yeah. I've lost a combined score 10-2. So, I think Butch might have to consider taking me out of the lineup for that game.
The Gillette Stadium game was.
That's one everybody would like to. Forget.
Yeah, that's just. Or rather not even bring it up. But since you did, that was.
You know what? They're so much fun to play in. There's nothing like skating up and down the rink and the air going in your face and, you know, putting the eye black on. It's something special for sure.
Nice.
All right, Tori.
All right, buddy. Enjoy.
Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you after the new year.
Merry Christmas.
Tori Krug of the Boston Bruins joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
All right.
Wow, Notre Dame had a better place than most NHL.
Sean showed me the...
That's Sean in Chicago.
He sent me the new videos. So you guys see, the locker room is unbelievable. It's nice. I think it's nicer than football. It really is.
I was going to say, they're going there for a hockey game. They're going to use the football locker rooms, though.
No, but I mean...
They will.
They are. That's They're right. not going to even use those.
Yeah.
Maybe for practice or something.
Because
I would think most players just welcome, the change because I get to play hockey every night. But it's a grind. You're in your building half the time. You're in these other buildings that you've seen a number of times. And after a while, they all got to feel about the same, look the same. I mean, there's one Montreal, but for the most part, it's going to work. And this is different. This is fun. This is, a different type of atmosphere. Unless, as Tori just said, you have just played horrifically in those outdoor games, then it's, it gives you a mixed bag of emotions. But for the players and everybody else, that's why there's still a thing. And even though they doubled and tripled up on them, the outdoor games still gain interest because it's just something different. And they're not changing the game.
Most arenas are all the same now. Yeah. They're all the same. Even though you say, you just get used to being on the road and every locker room, whatever, just another one. But every arena looks the same now.
Yeah, but
it's not like it used to be when you had the Forum in Montreal and you had the Garden here in Boston. And
we talked about
around
playing,
the whole league.
Talk about playing in Detroit, the old Joe Louis, where kind of had a little feel to it. Now you get in the new one and lighting's all different. It's all teched up. And
half
just,
the people aren't even the in their seats because there's so much other stuff to do and see in the restaurants and the bars.
Right. Yeah, it's like Patriot Place.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy will sit back down with us next segment.
Did he leave?
I don't know where he went. What are you watching
this
now?
This guy's trying to make his kid skate. Kid doesn't want to skate. He's hanging on. The guy's trying to rip him off the wall. Watch this. Oh, what a good dad. Get your ass on the ice.
Let's get another call before we get to headlines with Hardy. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's that Campbell soup?
It's delicious.
It's probably not warm anymore. It's quite cold in here.
Yeah, actually, Mark, I'm getting cold just watching you with the hoodie on.
Yeah. Hey, with the hoodie today. It's too bulky.
The biggest issue for me is how they got here, not the fact that they went after Gordon. It's what they didn't do in the offseason. You trade Cook, and then you let Amendola go, and you didn't replace either one of them guys. I mean, Edelman's coming off an ACL injury. He's over 30. And you just look at the second-round picks alone. I mean, you had James Washington. There's a guy.
I'll give you the Cooks one. I mean, I think, and I'll admit,
about time you
they probably should have kept Cooks for the $8 million. And I think the dependability of the player for every single practice off season and going through it, that he would have given you some numbers. And I'm not saying he blowed doors off because I don't like the way he goes over the middle. He really didn't fit what you did. He fits more with what the Rams do, vertical. That's the one you probably should have kept him paid. Now you wouldn't extend him. You know what I mean, you're going to keep him, you're going to lose him. But you keep him to be around Brady.
You'd be a better team.
If you truly know this too, and if you were Bill and you say, you know what, the tight end ain't the same. I'm not talking about him coming here, lifting all this. We're watching game. He ain't the same. And if I'm going to trade him, I better make sure I have other pieces around. You see what I'm saying? So, okay, Rob nixed the trade. They nixed the trade. The Patriots did. Rob's here. Obviously, Rob is not the same. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have Brandon. You put your eggs and all that other basket with the Brits, the Matthews, and I keep going to Mitchell. Yeah, because Mitchell's here in the offseason. You're thumping. The knee's going to come. The knee's going to come on. Let's go. And then the Edelman suspension just complicates things. And here you are left standing at the altar there at the beginning of the season where you're getting your ass kicked week two, week three. You start 1-2. You're chasing after that. You're trying to get Julian up and going. He's still giving you a drop a game or two. He doesn't look right. And you got issues across the board depending on Gordon. That's why you're in this tough spot.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Who's got a beard that's long and white? Santa's got a beard that's long and white. Who comes around on a special night? Santa comes around on a special night. Special night.
Got the big fat ass and beard. You know it's Santa.
He'll put you in a spoon.
Do you believe?
Do you subject your family to this stuff?
It hasn't aged well. You can listen to Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby.
Those guys hold up.
You know the best part of it?
This didn't hold
Mitch
up.
Mitch in the game has not held up at all.
Like, my parents have the Alexa down there, so I go, hey, Alexa, play Mitch Miller in a game, Christmas, and it, boom, plays it right away. Like, you don't have to, you don't need the old record player, none of that.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Modern day stuff, man. Hey, Alexa, play Mitch Miller.
Alexa knows about Mitch?
Yeah. Oh, play Mitch in the game.
Oh. Alexa has Mitch ready to go.
The answer to your question is, Beatle, they do not like it either. They tolerate, roll their eyes, a lot of eye rolling.
So what day will you all be together? Christmas Eve, Christmas Day?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay.
The new generation. I have grandsons now, so they're hearing it now.
You know. I know.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's the best part of it.
Yeah.
You pass it down to them.
Frightens the poor lads.
It gets their attention. And they perk right up. Who's yelling at me?
Yeah. And you subject them to this crap.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Mitch and the gang.
Dan's date's coming up in 10 minutes. Matt is in Boston right now. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
I just want to make one comment about Josh Gordon. You got what you paid for. Lots and lots of people struggle with addiction, and none of us get 4, 5, 6 chances. And not only that, but this guy has been through world-class rehabilitation, centers, and we got exactly what we paid for. And at the end of the day, kick him to the curb. I'd rather lose without him than win with him, because all he's doing is hurting the Patriots. And I know it's not a popular thing to say, but you got what you paid for. The guy will never learn, because what is this?
Fourth, all right, so why is so much anger there directed at Josh Gordon? Why is it not directed at Bill Belichick?
I guess it comes down to the individual. I'm a recovering addict, and I didn't have 6 chances.
Yeah.
And my employer said, hey,
jealous?
You got one chance.
Yeah,
am I jealous? No, I'm not jealous, but no, not at all. I'm not jealous, but he got what's coming to him, and I hope he never plays another down in the NFL.
I think Mitch Miller put this guy in a bad mood.
I think this was a short-term risk.
Anger's carrying on.
I don't think you have any intentions of looking forward and saying, boy, this guy could have been our long-term solution receiver. We all even said he's lost a step from not playing.
So most Patriot fans would rather win with him.
I'd rather win with him.
I think it helps you. I'd rather win with him.
But I don't think they're bringing him back.
I don't either.
I wouldn't be so quick to say that.
I don't know.
And I really don't have any anger at all for Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is
he
is.
Right.
And you knew what you were dealing with going into it. And the Patriots made no preparation for the scenario that they are now dealing with. Which is entirely predictable. Adam Schefter says today, they knew that there was a chance this could happen. Well, they did nothing to prepare for it if it were to happen.
Well, you kept Dorsett around, because remember there's inquiries about Dorsett when they were trying to. I think it was going back to the Demaryius Thomas stuff. Somebody inquired about trading for Dorsett and Bill denied it.
Okay, but I'm talking about making your team better.
No, but that's
trying to acquire
now,
someone other than what you had.
Well, yeah.
They should not have stopped at Josh Gordon prior to the trade deadline.
What was the break point for them? Meaning, if you're not in on Demaryius, or if you're not in on Golden Tate, was it really a third or fourth that you wouldn't go the distance
they
on?
They should have went and got
you know
Tate.
I mean?
They should have went after Tate.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were doing. I really did.
Should have done that. But I don't have any anger for Josh Gordon. I was very much against the signing.
Josh fell in their lap, actually.
End up here, and I thought that it would take them out of future negotiations for anybody else, and it did. That all came true. The situation they're in was entirely predictable, and that I hold the team responsible for that. Lewis is in Newburyport. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Lewis.
I think Matt in Boston deserves the empathy award for 2018, that last caller. But anyway,
I
gave it a chuckle. They can't all be home runs. Keep going with your call.
At least you tried it.
You win some, lose some.
That's right. At least you tried it. At least you worked it out.
I always thought it was interesting the difference between performance-enhancing drugs and just the regular drug policy in the NFL. Like, what if theoretically Gordon, went to the doctors and they're like, oh, you have ADHD, and he had, a prescription to Adderall. Is he not going to be able to play in the NFL anymore?
He'd be allowed to take that.
Okay, and also, marijuana, pretty interesting thing. Like, when I grew up playing sports, there were some people on the high school varsity teams that would smoke marijuana, at the end of the year, we'd give them a special award called the Adversity Award because it made their job harder in all of our eyes. I mean, no one was, you know, they had no advantage doing that. So, I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. I wish we were winning with Gordon. Yeah, and that's my opinion on that.
Okay, Lewis, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Lewis.
You know, we don't know what it is that he tested positive for. There have been reports over the years that his drug abuse has extended beyond just marijuana. And if this turns out to just be marijuana, I'd have a hard time believing the Patriots aren't going to try and get him back on this roster next year.
Why? Because if he would smoke again, then you'd lose him again. I mean, I don't see how it benefits the Patriots.
I'll tell you why. Because if you're talking about marijuana, you're talking about the NFL that is trying to legislate out something that they shouldn't spend their time on, is what it comes down to.
They need to find guys that separate. That's what they need.
They need to be like the NBA on that one. Marijuana? Yeah, no one gets caught for that anymore. We stopped testing for it.
Just so we're all on the same page, I want to make sure you would welcome him back if they've got, you know, plenty of, you know, players in the ranks, and he would just be like
an additional piece.
Right.
Not as a featured piece, not as a guy that needs to play 55 snaps every week. No.
Gotcha. I'm wondering how that's, you know, where right now, like just today, it's trending in the wrong direction as Cordell Patterson is missing from Patriots practice.
Oh, good.
And Matthew Slater is working with the receiver group.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Troy Brown.
Where the hell? Wait, where's Dorsett?
He's there.
All I know is he's probably there, but Patterson.
Well, Slater's really good on that. Patterson, post routes and go routes. You remember those go and post routes from the AFC Championship game
Matthew
in Denver?
Slater.
He almost caught one of those, man.
Great teammate, great leader, super smart player.
You don't even need to preface it with that.
I love him, but I'm going to tell you, I don't love
him.
No, I do.
No.
Hey, yes.
No,
Matthew Slater is deserving of not making it sound like we're crapping on him.
We're not. Because he shouldn't be in there with the receivers.
He's a heck of a player.
Receivers today, Edelman, Hogan, Dorsett, Slater, and practice squatter. Patterson.
Where's Dorsett?
No, Dorsett's Reed practicing.
Again.
What?
Read him again, Hardy.
I said Dorsett.
Oh,
Edelman,
I'm sorry.
Hogan, Dorsett, Slater, and Damon Patterson, practice squad
that's
player.
A typo.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's Dates. Dan had some dates today. Also had some tomato soup.
Oh, my God.
And tomato
so
cans
great.
On the table.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yes, December 20th is today, 5 days before Christmas. 5 more days of Mitch Miller, and you can hang it up for the year. Stuff that happened. People that were born this date. Original Mouseketeer, Tommy Cole, who I don't know. Hardy, nothing?
He's one that didn't make it.
He's 77. And Ed Fuduccello, everybody knew.
Yeah.
And the guy from My Three Sons, he was one of them, too. But...
Well, and then Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
No. That was a later thing.
Yeah, but still, they became Mouseketeers.
Hardy, maybe this one. Alan Parsons is 70?
Oh, Alan Parsons.
He had a project.
In the sky, okay. Yeah. Looking for you. Right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Zoe, you like this one.
Do you remember the Austin Powers movie where they... Where
yeah.
We'll name it the Alan Parsons Project.
So how old do you think Nate Newton is today?
Nate Newton?
Good.
I would say he's got to be 54, 55.
He's 57.
Yeah.
It's all cleaned up, all skinny now, and out of the slammer. It's all good with
weird
him.
Weird looking, man.
Yeah.
Austin, what do you do all that
Talked to him at the Super Bowl a few years back.
Crazy.
He's a good talker.
Like, where's your skin?
He was a go-to guy, man, when they were in it. He was the man with all media day.
Nate Newton was the one that screwed up in the Thanksgiving game, wasn't he?
That was Leon Lett.
Leon Lett. Yeah, sorry.
Nate Newton, I think he ran the White House.
Oh, really?
The house they have.
Oh,
yeah. The White House?
That's not a surprise. Cecil Cooper, former Red Sox, is 69 years old today. Jonah Hill. How old do you guys think Jonah Hill is today?
35.
67?
Bingo. Beetle on the nose. I mean, he's had... He's been around forever already.
He doesn't look well.
He was fat. He's skinny. He's everywhere. He had long hair, short hair. Yeah, been all over the place. December 20th, he was born.
Was he buying the shoes? Did he want the shoes in 40-year-old Virgin where he went in the eBay store?
Yes.
Why don't you just give them to me now?
Like, yeah.
Why do I have to go through?
So I can take them home and put them on.
And wear them. Yeah.
I don't know who Brittany Murphy is, but she died on this day in 2009.
She was that actress and with...
Oh, God.
All right, so she did the Honeymoon movie with Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher.
She had the raspy voice.
She was in Clueless.
Yeah.
And she's in a bunch of movies. Yeah.
Well, she died young. I don't know what.
Think drugs.
You know, really?
I think so.
JoJo was born today. Whoever.
JoJo's from Foxborough.
I don't know who
singer.
That is.
She's a pop star. Pop star.
Yeah. The only JoJo I know is JoJo White, who we lost last year.
Right.
And JoJo the Whale from Bronx Tale. Remember, you did not sit with him. You sat among him.
That's right.
The Whale. He was one of the characters at the beginning of Bronx Tale.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Oh,
great movie.
We've been down that.
Yeah, we're not doing that again.
I don't understand.
That's,
Oh, I want to correct myself. She died of pneumonia.
I thought she got
32.
Sick.
32. Yeah.
Not drugs.
Horrible.
I'm sorry I said that.
Oh, JoJo's from Foxborough.
Zoe said that.
Well, I wasn't listening.
When hosts aren't listening.
Stuff that happened on December 20th. In 1803, the Louisiana Purchase was completed.
How much did you pay for that?
Ownership of the territory formally transferred from France to the U.S. That was like a day of mourning in France. They were angry that they
lost
all
that. Did Lewis and Clark go down there in their canoe?
The flags
down
were
there
half
get that
staff.
Done? Right down the Mississippi.
I'm not good on that one. I don't know that my explorers. Don't know. On this date in 1860, South Carolina became the first state to secede from the Union. That's went to a bad place. 1860, we know where that went. The Fuhrer note of the day is 1924. Adolf Hitler was released from prison after serving 9 months for his role in some beer hall episode. I don't think it was a brawl. In 1963, the Berlin Wall was opened for the first time to West Berliners, allowed one-day visits. On December 20, 1968, author John Steinbeck died. What did he write? Beetle?
Grapes of Wrath.
Ooh.
Sorry.
I was hoping the young guy might. Would you have gotten that?
If I had to think about it for a minute, I might be able to come
up with
that.
He wrote A Dubious Battle, but Grapes of Wrath was the definitive piece by him. On this date in 1946, It's a Wonderful Life debuted in New York City.
Wow.
And some of the reviews were not kind, I can tell you. The New York Times, they ran some early day reviews of It's a Wonderful Life.
My wife hates it.
Spot on.
Well.
I
don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
No.
Are you serious?
I lasted through maybe 30 seconds of it.
You could probably do a good James Stewart, too.
So, can you watch an old movie?
No.
Yeah, I
can't do it.
Black and white.
He's not capable of it.
Can't do it.
Incapable. Well, you absolutely 100% incapable. No chance. Wouldn't even give it. I wouldn't even set aside 5 minutes for it.
Okay.
That's his ADD.
No. Just, I like what I like.
He likes shiny things.
Last year on this date, the disgraced Cardinal Bernard Law died.
Who did?
Archbishop of Boston, Cardinal Bernard Law, died on this date last year. He was disgraced. We all know why.
Yep.
And the last thing I have, I want it to be the last thing. So does anybody else have anything for December 20th?
Is it Elvis related?
It is.
Okay.
Sorry. But anything else from today?
No.
December 20th?
No.
Nothing that needs mentioned. Go ahead.
Is it close to 1 o'clock yet when I get to walk away?
No, you've got like 2 minutes.
You got 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know how much of this cut he wants to play, but
go ahead.
My farewell to you, the last show before Christmas. On this date in 1957, the King was drafted into the U.S. Army. And what was his Christmas song?
Blue.
Christmas. This is what our faces are turning from being in the morning.
Now, if this was your old Christmas music, then you'd be in good shape, Dan.
Yeah.
Like, this holds up. This song holds
King.
Up.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
I was just reading about his induction into the Army. So he went to Germany, and he ended up living off base with his father and some friends from Memphis.
Yeah, the guys.
Yeah.
He got special treatment.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it was, like the worst thing in the
world.
It's
like Goodfellas when they go to prison.
No, it's worse than, doing your performances and traveling the country, touring, making millions of dollars.
When the mafia guys go to prison, they're cooking up pasta in the back.
Yeah, it's like Goodfellas.
Slicing the garlic with the razor blade. Hey, what do you got? Oh, good. You got a red, you got a white. Hey, good. Now
I think that's why so many people have an issue with like, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Not going in.
But he was going to be sent to Vietnam.
But
he was a conscientious objector.
Correct. But was he not going to get special treatment where he was, not?
I don't know.
Truly in the bush.
I don't know.
It's funny you said that about where Muhammad Ali was going to be sent, because this was also another Dan's day today, December 20th, 1960. The National Liberation Front of Vietnam formed, which became the Viet Cong, December 20th, and that was Ali's quote. I ain't got nothing against them Viet Cong.
How'd you feel about that at the time, Dan?
I was kind of young to be really too motivated. I don't think we liked it. Our dads were all in World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah. it wasn't a popular thing. It's interesting how that has evolved. I mean, he ended up being on the right side of it, but at the time, people were not fans. Heavyweight champ of the world, he got drafted, the king went.
I don't know if everybody would say he was on the right side of it.
Well, the part about, you know, he was a conscientious objector, he was a Muslim, he had his things, but he was on the right side of being against the Vietnam War. So that part.
I'm not getting into it. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, but we were.
You
not
want
fans.
To debate the Vietnam War for the next hour?
No, I don't. I don't know that I want all of our Vietnam War veteran listeners to necessarily be offended by saying. Well,
yeah, you could do multiple hours on that.
Yeah,
they have been done. We love all of our veterans.
I don't know that we make
them. There have been many points since they've been back that they haven't felt the love.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Yep.
They weren't exactly given the best treatment.
Thanks for dragging down the instincts.
Yeah, wow.
You know. That was depressing. You're the one. You're the one who started talking about the VC. Yeah.
Yeah, you started.
Yeah, the dance dates were done. We were listening to Elvis. Everything was fine.
That's awesome. Everything about that. Depressing.
Bring Elvis up one more thing about Hitler before I get
kills himself.
Jesus.
If I could just start Hitler. Nazi Germany for a couple of minutes before I go.
You know what? Seceding from the Union, even you, man.
It's 101.
You crushed it.
Yeah, get out of here.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Dan, appreciate it.
Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.